This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Intern Ryan's got the Periscope fired up. If you want to watch along as we come in and get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours, here on this beautiful Thursday, June 17th. How are we today? Go ahead, Cam. Let them have it.
Excellent! Let's go, baby! Let's go!
Let me pull off the mic a little bit when you go scream.
I apologize to the listeners, but let's go!
Let's go.
I am excellent. I'm losing my voice, and I was just yelling at the TV yesterday. Like, I guess the game Monday didn't help, but like, yeah, yelling at the TV yesterday kind of compounded it, I think. So here we are.
I'm riding high, man.
Oh man, this is.
Go incredible. Ahead, take a little victory lap.
Tennessee,
let's hear it.
Baseball in Omaha, 5-0 in the regionals and super regionals. Man, the Hawks last night. Pretty good feeling to be on a 26. On the right side of a 26-0 comeback. It's a terrible start for my Belgium team, though.
Oh my gosh.
I am no longer riding high. What the hell are they doing?
The first minute?
My Is that goodness. Fixed? Are we doing a Dale Earnhardt? Are we doing a Dale Earnhardt Jr. Senior thing here? That looks fixed.
Yeah. What in the world?
That looks so staged. Easy. That looks staged.
Wow.
That feels like Junior winning Daytona.
Less than 2 minutes into the game.
I'm calling it. This giveaway and this goal. No. Look at this. That's just fixed.
Oh,
he
man.
Kicked it right to him.
He did.
I'm not buying it.
Well, would it be fixed for the guy who collapsed?
Yeah. Their teammate just died on the field, a couple days ago. So their emotions are riding high. They get a goal a minute into the game off of that. I'm calling it.
Yeah, the goalie just.
And it's not just because I need Belgium to win, but I'm calling it. But I'm calling it.
Go ahead. Keep talking about the Hawks. Let's go.
Nothing needs to be said. Team just took care of business. Yeah, we win.
What were we going to do? I told you, Hawks and six. I said it yesterday. Hawks and six.
Which one was sweeter? Being there, Cam, or was it last night's going on the road? Ooh. Bigger comeback.
I'll say
more pivotal game.
It was good to be there, but I think me being there is what sparked them to this.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense.
It was the catalyst, to get this going. So, I mean, they are 2-0 after me being there, 2 in a row.
What is Doc Rivers doing this morning?
Nope.
What is Dr. Rivers doing right now?
Telling the team they're going to win game 6. Tell them to stay focused. That's it. I mean, he said after the game, "Hey, this is sports. It's fine. We're gonna win game six. We'll be back here for game 7. I believe that." If you're Doc Rivers, you're trying to preach that. I wonder what the players think, though. I mean, like looking at your coach, and it's Doc Rivers. It's Doc Rivers. He has a long history of blowing these games. It has been said that last night's Philadelphia 76ers collapse was the biggest since last year's Los Angeles Clippers collapse against the Nuggets, also coached by Doc Rivers. Like. You just have a loser coach who has a long track record of losing when it matters, who has ridden one championship ring from Kevin Garnett and Tom Thibodeau as far as possible. He's got a nice reputation because of it. Now, he's a good coach. He's just not a championship-level coach, in my opinion. I know he has the one ring, but again, I think that's an outlier. I think that's an anomaly. Every other season, he has shown you, like, hey, he's going to have his teams come up small when it matters. And that's what they did again last night.
I literally didn't even watch the fourth quarter. I didn't watch the grand comeback. I thought it was over. I was done. I was like,
of course you did.
Back to Call of Duty. I was like, nah, yeah, I'm out.
Well, credit to you. Credit to you for not sending any mean text.
I thought about it, but I was like,
nice of you.
Yeah. I wish you would have, actually.
Yeah, it looked pretty foolish, huh? Yep. I'm sure you guys have been bringing up the receipts on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you win. You win because you didn't do it. So it's fine. If you had, that would have been bad for you, but you held off. So being nice helps you get a win.
Wow.
Hayden just completely ignoring the text thread, so he hasn't been doing that stuff either. Still waiting to find out where Hayden's been. Every time I ask him, he just doesn't answer.
Yeah.
Charlie trying to just bend the knee and apologize. Did anybody happen to hear Chance's interview on the Blitz?
Yes.
Did he apologize to Cam and I?
He did not.
Did he apologize for his terrible NBA takes?
He did not.
He just pretended like they didn't happen?
Yeah, he was a little intentionally oblivious.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Well, Charlie at least tried to come out and congratulate me, but no apology. Draven, I ask you, do you feel like you owe us an apology yet? Because Cam and I have been telling you this all year.
Mr. Sixers and Five.
We've
Sixers
been mocked. Not only that, Cam, going back to, you know, Hawks going to be a four seed. I said the Hawks are a contender for the Eastern Conference Finals, was laughed at. Called us the deepest team in the league. You know, three bench players last night lead a comeback to get the Hawks back in the game. I told you how great the Lou Will trade was.
Plus 31.
He was good.
That's the highest I've ever seen.
I told you how great the Lou Will trade was. Getting paid two draft picks, two second-round picks. And cash.
Yep, to get rid of Rondo.
To get rid of 2 years of Rondo for 1 year of Sweet Lou. I told you, great trade. Underrated. Oh, Lou Will's gone. Really? Really, we're talking about that trade? That's
well, granted, he didn't even want to play for a minute. He contemplated, like, retirement for, like, the first couple weeks when he got there.
Then he got there and realized, oh, wait, this team's nice.
He believed in the system.
And then last night said, you know, it's great playing with Trey, a future Hall of Famer.
Ooh.
A superstar already and a future Hall of Famer. Mm. He's special.
39 points, baby. Good job by Ben Simmons on defense and on offense, I guess. All-around performance by Ben Simmons.
What a waste of space.
Shout
man.
Out to Chance Collins for those tweets in the radio talking about Saving Doc Rivers out. And Ben Simmons figuring out Trae Young in the offense. Looked like it. Looked like it on his way to, 25 points and 18 assists in game four, and then 39 and 7 last night.
Yep.
Figured it out.
And he was shooting pretty well last night, too. Like, compared to most of his games.
And in the fourth quarter, I mean, the last two games has been stone cold.
Closeout. Mm-hmm.
While the Sixers are just gagging it up.
Is
there a worse feeling in sports than rooting for a team that's just like front runners and just soft and has no backbone? You just know. Like, the Bucks are kind of dealing with it with that. At least they have probably a little hope of, like, hey, Kevin Durant just went crazy. It's fine. We still played pretty good. At least maybe they still have a little hope. If I'm a Sixers fan, like, it's been 4 years of this. Like, we made ourselves the biggest losers, literally, in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
The process. Trust the process. Tanking. Like, they took that to the extreme. They became the biggest losers in sports.
And they embraced it.
And, you know, whatever. It got them Embiid. It got them Simmons. They messed up on a couple of the other picks. And, you know, maybe they should have sold on Simmons when they had a chance to get Harden. That all, you know, seems like mismanagement, but I'm just saying they embraced losing, tanking. They didn't care because the process is going to work. Trust the process. Two superstars. And then, you know, this is going to be, the fourth straight playoffs where they've just found a way to gag themselves out of it?
Yep.
Or lost in a way that leaves you with just a terrible taste in your mouth. Like, yeah, that Raptors team might have been better than them. It was in Toronto. But you blew a chance to win that game on a unlucky bounce. That's tough. That's unfortunate. I get that. Jimmy Butler, you know, was a closer. And then you let Jimmy Butler go. You chose Ben Simmons. You chose Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. And then Jimmy Butler leaves, and then you look around. You don't have a closer anymore. And last night, Jimmy Butler probably wouldn't let you blow a 26-point lead. No. Instead, you're stuck with Embiid, Embiid embodies that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know everyone's going to blame Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons deserves blame, you know, He has attempted zero field goals the last two fourth quarters.
Wow.
Nevertheless, made one. He has attempted zero field goals in the last two fourth quarters.
What do you expect from him, man? He has no offensive game.
No, that's fine.
The runner. Mm-hmm. That's all he's got is that little runner off the backboard.
He just has to dunk the ball.
Yeah, he missed a couple free throws.
He missed a dunk, too, by the way. He couldn't even make a dunk.
Thank goodness they stopped passing to Seth Curry, though, because he was on it for a while.
And they treated Ben Simmons like a make-a-wish kid, like the manager that gets in at the end of the game.
Yeah.
That stuck with you, washed your towels, just the ultimate team guy. You let him in, and you're just cheering, please. Get up a shot. That's how they're cheating Ben Simmons when he's at the free throw line. You know, a guy they're paying $150 million, a number one pick. They're treating him like, again, he is the manager getting off the bench to attempt a shot. They're cheering him on. Please, Ben, have some confidence, man. The one fan there is teaching him, just here's the shooting motion. Come on, big dog, you got this. And, like, that's a professional athlete, again, who's making $150 million, like getting the max, getting the super max. It's thought of as a top 30 player. But again, back to Joel Embiid, because I get blaming Doc Rivers. Yeah, Doc Rivers does a lot of things wrong. He's a choker. Yeah, Ben Simmons is flawed. So is Tobias Harris. But to me, it begins and ends with Embiid. Mm-hmm. And Embiid's great. He's hurt. Whatever you want to say. He didn't look hurt in the first quarter. I mean, he's out there, you know, flexing and being a tough guy.
Yep. He had to cover his bases, though, at the end of the last game, you know, and be like, oh, I'm hurt in case I stink again. And then, oh, yeah, not too hurt, huh, bud?
Then came out in the first quarter and was unstoppable. And, like, that was a great first quarter. I mean, he was busting the Hawks' ass. No dispute there. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. But then when it starts going a little bad, that body language that Draven likes to point out, no one has worse body language than Joel Embiid. He looks on the verge of tears almost every time something goes wrong.
Yeah. The worst.
Oof. Yep.
Not so much like the complaint to the refs. He does that usually after makes. He always wants the and one.
Yeah. Every single time.
He wants the and one every single time. It's not so much yelling at the refs, but it's just the moping, the shoulders going down, the look of tears coming out of his face.
Just the him, like, flopping around on the floor, too, sometimes, and then getting slow to get up.
The first
and,
time he misses a shot, he'll go down on the ground.
Yeah.
And then he's going to make sure you know, oh, wait, yeah, he's hurt. Oh, he's a big guy. Oh, he's laboring. Never mind the fact, by the way, Joel Embiid, he should have been kicked out of the game diving at John Collins' knees like that.
Yeah, what was that? You know he would have lost his mind if somebody would have done that
to him.
Listen, John needs to start reacting a little bit more to this stuff because, I mean, Ben Simmons whacked the hell out of him last game. He didn't do anything. And then this game, if he would have actually laid there a little bit, I think they would have reviewed that.
He's a grown man.
He's too tough.
Yeah,
he's too tough.
He's a grown man, unlike Embiid over there.
Big win for John Collins last night.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up big two games in a row. Didn't really have, like, the signature moment on offense last night, I didn't think. You know, he banked in that three. That was lucky.
That pass from Trey to him, though?
The pass from Trey was great. Again, whenever everyone was, you know, foaming at the mouth at any basic Luka Doncic play, I'm like, hey, Trey makes this pass three times a game. Any good guard does.
Did you see that one pass he had in the first half that Herder missed that three where it was, like, behind the head?
I guess that's it. It's just – great guards make those passes all the time. It's not even about Trey. Like, if you're an NBA guard, like, Steph Curry makes those passes. James Harden goes through his legs, like, in, you know, makes those passes. Like, it's simple stuff. But, you know, Collins had the banked in three. That was a great moment. But, you know, for him, it was defense, man. He was a rim defender last night. I hate it happened to Tobias Harris, but got blocked at the rim.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With the game on line. And then in the second to last possession, down one, nobody on that team wanted anything to do with the ball. They passed that thing around like a hot potato. Embiid had it in front of the rim. No, Tobias, you take it. No, just keep passing around. Ben Simmons is like, hey, don't even pass me the ball. They might foul me. I don't want it.
You think that was the whole, what was Doc Rivers saying? Too much hero ball in the first game? It was almost like, hey, we need to try to pass it around, I guess, try not to do too much.
I mean, maybe that got in their heads, but no, I don't think that was it. I think it was, I don't want this shot. I'm not going to make it because no one was making any shots. Like,
Seth Curry.
Well, I mean, yeah, Seth Curry was fine on offense in midway through the fourth quarter, but he disappeared as well. I mean, none of them hit field goals the last 6 minutes. Like, Seth Curry was good on offense, but got obliterated on defense by Lou Williams. Like, so Seth Curry can't even feel too good about himself today. Now I would say, like, you wasted 30 points from Seth Curry. You're probably upset about that. But, like, Seth Curry got abused by Trey and Lou Williams. They took turns singling him out on the way to that comeback. But, again, just back to Embiid and the Sixers, man. That's the worst type of team to root for. And in your heart, you know you have that as a fan. Like, this team is soft. This team is going to make excuses. Then we're going to have to make excuses for them. And, oh, man, we'd win if Embiid wasn't hurt. No, you'd win if Embiid didn't get gassed and if Embiid made a big play. If Embiid could make a layup in game four. You can say he's gassed, whatever. Make a layup.
Make your free throws.
Make your free throws. Yeah, it's a three-point game. You can cut it to one. You missed two free throws. And if you're not gonna be that good in the fourth quarter, you definitely can't be talking all that trash before the game and at halftime when they're doing the reports of, yeah, Joel wants everyone to know he saw Clint Capella saying he's a different player when he's fatigued. I'm going to show him.
Man,
and then you got the Sixers Twitter tweeting out after the first quarter and after halftime. Are we supposed to be tired now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not. Fatigue doesn't set in the first quarter. Fatigue sets in late in the third and early in the fourth. Late in the fourth. Mm-hmm. And your team was trash.
They played themselves.
You got rope-a-doped, Embiid. We simply let you score 20 points. We tried to tire you out in the first quarter. Hey, score as many points as you want, bro.
And it worked.
It was definitely the plan. Definitely the plan. Just let him score as many as he wants. Definitely. Rope-a-dope. And then, ran out of gas. Couldn't make any plays at the end. And your Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. Carson sent me the stat. Third largest playoff comeback since 1994.
I mean, what?
Tied for the third largest.
I was going to say, I know that, what, the Lou Williams on that Clippers team that came back against the Warriors when they were down 31 a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Was it 2014 or so, 2013, whenever maybe even 2012, when the Clippers came back from 27 on the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
That was also a huge comeback Nick Young led. So, I mean, there's a couple that stand out on top of it. I guess
I know the Mavs in the finals. What were they down against the Heat?
They were down 15 with like 6 or 17 with like 6 minutes.
Okay,
up,
so it wasn't as big. But
that was, you know, more clutch.
And, I was about to say more, maybe more impressive.
Right,
but.
17 with 6 minutes, and you got LeBron and Wade shadow boxing, but it wouldn't have been a bigger comeback just in terms of deficit. So I just asked, do you have anything to say, Draven?
Congrats, okay. I guess. I mean, yeah. Like series is not over yet. I think you guys are, you know, celebrating a little prematurely,
would you,
maybe.
Would you
just
like
a little bit.
5-1 take?
Yeah, I was wrong. Okay. Is that what
I don't
you
even, that, I didn't want that apology. I want the apology for the whole season.
I'm
honestly.
Just starting baby steps, getting one in.
I went for the whole season.
I'm trying to see if he can apologize.
I just wanted to say, like, yeah, I was wrong. The Hawks are pretty good. John, you and Cam are right. You know what? Bogdanović getting him back healthy was important. Mm-hmm. Firing Lloyd Pierce and putting Nate McMillan in there. Nate McMillan, best fourth quarter coach. He might be the best coach in the Eastern Conference, especially left, right? I mean, like, you have the best coach in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Between Steve Nash and Budenholzer and Doc Rivers. Like, you got the best guy, maybe in the entire playoffs. I mean, Quinn Snyder, well, I was going to say Quinn Snyder's pretty good before last night, and Monty Williams pretty good, but.
I think that's more Chris Paul, though, than
I
say Monty.
I mean,
to be honest.
You know, Matt, the best coach in the playoffs. Again.
Especially. Didn't you say the Hawks were the best fourth quarter team since
he
got there?
Yeah, you saw it last night.
There you go.
40-19. That's wild.
Game four.
That's why there was never a doubt.
So, you know, again, the floor is yours, Draven, in case you have anything to say.
Sorry, guys, for doubting the Hawks a little bit. They're pretty good.
Let's change the tone of voice a little bit because it seems a little sarcastic. Yeah. It seems like we're forcing
you. Who was sarcastic about that? I apologize. The Hawks are pretty good.
I know you've been in a relationship before. I know you at least got parents that you've had to apologize for. They've told you, Draven, it's the tone. That's not a sincere apology. Let's work on it. This is practice for when you find a lover. Because she's going to tell you to apologize sometime. And if you hit her with that tone, it's going to go worse.
Yep.
That's when it's a sincere apology. It's okay to admit when you're wrong.
John, Cam, I'm truly sorry. I was wrong about the Hawks. They're a good team. They're a good basketball team. And they're Eastern Conference Finals contender.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, it is a lot better.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Series still isn't over, though, by the way. I'm just saying.
I know the series ain't over.
I'm just saying. I don't want you guys to get all hyped up you know.
I've never once said the Sixers are dead. I've never once said that we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. No, the series isn't over. No. I do think, like, again, I said after Game 4, like, that win in Game 4 made this series feel really good and, like, it announces you to the entire league and kind of removes some of that, you beat the Knicks doubt.
Yep, you're welcome.
So to go to Game 7 with the Sixers if you end up losing, like, it'll be disappointing, but, like, it at least solidifies you.
We've arrived a little bit. Ahead of schedule.
You're getting nationally televised games next year. Like, Trae Young's not going to have to deal with this nonsense narrative anymore. Like, Trae Young isn't going to get doubted anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is Collins. Like, neither is your young core. So, like, no, all of that's a success. And all the fans that usually tell me that the Hawks aren't any good and that Trae sucks and that, you know, so-and-so's better, like, they've been kind of quiet the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
I didn't even get any blowback.
Grizzlies fans were tweeting at me all year, and I ain't heard from them in a few weeks. I heard from them.
Imagine in January, Cam, all of our Grizzlies friends, had we said that the Hawks had the best core in the young core in the NBA.
They would have lost their minds.
Oh, Ja Morant, Grayson Allen. Don't forget about Dylan Brooks and Jared Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark. They didn't even reply to the tweet.
No.
They didn't offer up anything. They know. They know. So it feels good. Mm.
Is that the best Hawks win you guys been a part of right there last night?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. I mean, the game.
The one being at was definitely the sweetest one I've been to in person for sure. But, it's watching-wise, I mean
being
on the stage.
Being the Celtics in Game 6 and 08 was pretty fun, but I was pretty new to the fan base at that point.
They also got beat by, like, then they could be like 40 the next game. Like Gabe said, was a blowout.
Yeah, I would say the Celtics one too was like, it was big, but at the same time, you're like, I don't think we're winning on the road.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, this one, you're like, we actually can finish this off.
Yeah, and like, you know, this team, you know, in 2014, Cam, we beat the Wizards, or in 2015, we beat the Wizards to get to the Conference Finals. Is that right? So beating them in Game 6 was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because Paul Pierce had just gotten on my nerves. But I think we just beat the hell out of them in Game 6, if I'm not mistaken. That was cool to get to the Conference Finals, because I thought you could beat that Cavs team. You didn't. You got swept. Maybe that's the same fate, but a 26-point comeback's pretty cool. Especially, everyone keeps calling Trae Young the villain. Joel Embiid's the villain.
He is. I don't know why he's become the darling in this series.
Joel Embiid's the villain. We're the good guys.
Oh, because his knee hurts a little. Oh.
Trey barely able to move his shoulder out there. Yeah, still getting
still
it done.
Just balling.
Did he have it all iced up again?
Yeah, he did. When he's on the bench, he had it iced up as usual. Like, he does that. He has it. He's taking care of it. You got to do what you got to do. But he comes in, takes it off, and he balls out. He doesn't complain about it. He doesn't talk about it. He just goes out there and gets it done.
The Hawks were the second team in a row to go and win a Game 5 tied 2-2 as underdogs. You know, the Nets did it at home on, what was that, Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the Hawks do it last night in the first game of the night, second game of the night. You had the Clippers do the same thing. We'll dive into that one next. And I'll let you do your little victory lap after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last night was a pretty bad snapshot if you were the Doc Rivers family, I would imagine. Although if you're Doc Rivers' daughter, who's married to Seth Curry, maybe you felt good at least for most of the game because your boo was balling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Looked good out there.
But then in the night game, not only did Paul George go off, who of course, you know, did Doc Rivers' daughter dirty, but also the man who replaced Doc Rivers goes on the road and wins a huge game on a night where Doc Rivers blows a 26-point lead. So Ty Lue, you know, was the anti-Doc Rivers last night.
Without their best player.
Mentioned
that one as well.
Without their best player, goes on the road and, you know, has a pretty good game plan and has pushed the right buttons in a series. And Ty Lue, you know, people questioned how good he was, you know, when he won his championship in Cleveland because, you know, well, it was LeBron and Kyrie. How much did you actually have to do? Mm-hmm. But I think he's been really, really good. I thought he was good in Cleveland and was willing to be tough and stand up to LeBron. And I think with the Clippers, you know, you talk about the Sixers taking on the mentality of Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers. I think the Clippers, at least in the playoffs so far, has kind of taken on the toughness of Ty Lue and, you know, Kawhi, and last night Paul George. That team was down 2-0. Win the next two in L.A., you're like, okay, we got a series, but okay, it's still going to be tough. And then Kawhi Leonard's down, okay, well, this ain't going to happen. Yeah. You're lucky if they can just cover the spread, keep it within 10. And then they come out, withstand the Jazz going absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Shooting-wise in the first quarter.
Bogdanovich.
And then take over the game. Yeah, Bogdanovich is what, 6-for-6 in the first quarter from three?
Yeah.
They settle down, come back and win, led by Paul George, helped by Reggie
Playoff
Jackson.
Playoff P, baby. Mm. Playoff P.
I told you last night it was Reggie Jackson time.
Mm.
Reggie,
yes, sir.
It was Reggie Jackson kind of being the closer. I know Paul George is the big and one, but outside of that, it was Reggie Jackson hitting the tough shots, I thought.
Yeah.
And Mook Morris, you know, being good. I've mocked both the Reggie Jackson signing and the Mook Morris trade, but, you know, the last two games, or really this whole series, both those guys have been really good and helped last night get a big win in Utah, as now the Clippers are up 3-2. Going back to Los Angeles, Paul George, 37-16-5.
Wow.
Big-time performance by him.
Wow. Impressive, huh?
It was.
Really impressive.
Mm-hmm. It was.
In fact, you want to apologize to me a little bit? Or?
Well, what do I have to say?
I don't know. You just were still doubting over there. And also, your whole Rudy Gobert better than the Paul George tape. Like, that's went down the drain, right?
No, that's went down the drain by now. I stand by that.
Come on,
no,
John.
I stand by it.
Sometimes you got to admit when you've been defeated, when you've been bested. And I think you've been bested, my friend.
I stand by it.
You've been bested.
I don't think so.
Rudy Gobert's third 30-point game in a row?
It is. And he also had 16 rebounds.
If the take is that Paul George is a better scorer than Rudy Gobert, yes, I will.
He was also D'ing up.
He wasn't. Who was he D'ing up? Bogdanovich went 6-for-6 in the first half of three. Who was he D'ing up?
Cooled off in the second half, didn't he?
I mean,
also, just the help defense on Donovan Mitchell. Like, Mitchell couldn't get going.
Donovan Mitchell guarded Donovan Mitchell. That's the conversation.
Well, Mitchell is best when he's going to the lane, and they were closing up the lane. He wasn't able to penetrate and do his thing. That was the big difference in the game.
So Paul George was closing up the lane.
I think Paul George played better defense than Rudy Gobert, who literally was pointless in the fourth quarter. He was pointless.
No, he shouldn't
have been on the court. The Clippers were going small ball. He was not closing out on Batum or Morris, and they were knocking down open shots.
Here's where you're going too far. Rudy Gobert kept them in that game. If Rudy Gobert wasn't playing, they would have gotten beaten by 25. Now, you can praise Paul George, and he deserves it. He was awesome today. But I'm not going to allow you to blame that game last night on Rudy Gobert. Have they, you know, bothered him when they go small? Yeah, they've gone small the entire game, which, you know, that's what the Clippers did against the Mavericks, and that's what they've tried to do here. You know, they pretty much have realized, like, Zubac is terrible. There's no reason for him to play. DeMarcus Cousins, let's keep him off the court. Like, Ty Lue has made good adjustments, but, like, you know, it was one of those things you're wondering in games one and two, where the hell is Terrence Mann? Why are you trying to play this? Like, Terrence Mann earned minutes against Dallas. Like, why isn't he playing? It took Tyler a little time, but he figured it out.
Put it right on his head.
And yeah. Batum. Yeah, no, that was a great dunk. That was a great dunk. And, you know, Terrence Mann pump faked, came through, and yammed on him in a big point of the game. 100%. I'm not going to act like Rudy Gobert was a defensive stalwart last night, but I'm not blaming the game on him last night.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. He scored, what, 14 second-half points? I mean, they were kind of dead in the water before he gets to the line, his two free throws, and then gets that big dunk. And I understand he didn't really set up the dunk, but his defense helped set up the dunk, and then he finished it. And then last night I thought he was, you know, pretty good. And credit to the Clippers. They hit tough shots.
I'm not trying to blame Gobert for the loss, but I'm just saying, like, we can all agree Paul George has been completely better this whole entire series.
Paul George has been really good the last three games. I am not discrediting Paul George. He's been better than Rudy Gobert the last three games. I'm not judging off of three games. And this series, much like you said, the Hawks ain't over. This series ain't over either.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But the one guy that does get enough love on the Clippers is Nick Batum. He had three steals yesterday, four today. He has become their defensive cornerstone because of no Kawhi.
Clutch three in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Batum was one of those guys left for dead and was overpaid, and it was a joke whenever he was making, you know, $27 million. But then the moment he became a vet minimum guy, everyone wanted him, and he chose the Clippers. And he was, you know, he's been their most consistent player all year, just in the sense he played the most minutes for them in the regular season. Yeah. Like, he was a pretty key part for them. And like you said, hit a clutch three, hit three of them, and makes big plays. I mean, he's, what, 6'9", 6'10"? He's a pretty good small ball five. And, you know, going back to the last conversation, I think that might end up being like Ben Simmons next year in the future, kind of just playing him at a small ball center and trying to build a team around him, kind of like we talked about with Giannis. Like, that seems to be the way they're going, except you're not going to put him next to Brook Lopez. You'll just hope Ben Simmons can be that type of defensive bugaboo.
I put this on the same level as the Sixers loss. Like, the Jazz, they're runner-ups, man. It's the same exact thing. Like, you have everything going for it. Best player out. You're at home. I mean, everything. And you still can't even pull out a victory. I mean, the Clippers pretty much dominated the second half of this game.
Yeah, there was a couple moments where the Jazz looked like they were going to come back and take control of the game, but there was always an answer, and it usually was from Reggie Jackson, where he came through and made a big play. And again, credit to him. I said yesterday, Reggie Jackson's going to believe in himself. It was telling everybody it was Reggie Jackson time, and he backed it up last night. But again, now I felt like, much like the Hawks, the Clippers came into Game 5 with no pressure.
Yeah, yeah. Home team's supposed to win Game 5.
Right. 82% of the time, the team who wins Game 5 in the 2-2 series wins. And now both teams are going back home with a chance to close it out.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers aren't going to be able to just be like free spirit, like, hey, golly gee, we're happy to be here. Hope we can do something without Kawhi. Because now, like, you know, you've shown, like, hey, you can win this game.
Yeah.
You can beat this team. Paul George, you've shown us you can do it. Do it again. And that's always going to be the problem with playoff P, is he's going to have to keep proving it. But he has the last three games.
I think that's the difference between the Clippers and the Hawks, too. The Clippers are still kind of expected to win this series now, and I think that's going to put some pressure on them. I think the Hawks still are kind of almost playing with house money a little bit. I think people realize they're a real, like, legit team, but I think at the same time, if the Sixers came back and won, people would just be, that's why they're the one seed.
I feel like the Hawks have a better chance than the Clippers right now, honestly. With everything
to win the series?
Yeah, to win the series.
I agree with that. I still think the Jazz are going to the series, and maybe I'm just going to keep saying that as they keep losing, but I'd imagine Mike Collins coming back. Although, if Donovan Mitchell's going to play as bad as he has the last three games, and they're not going to win.
Can we – let's bash this guy a little bit, man. I mean, if we're going to call him a superstar and you know, praise all the 40-point performances he had and him balling out in the first two games, like, we got to down this guy shooting 4-for-14 from three and just – I mean, I swear, the last four or five shots, I don't think any of them hit the rib. Like,
and they're all just bad shots, too, of him coming down.
At the beginning of the game, he was facilitating very well, feeding the hot hand of Bogdanovich, grabbing a couple rebounds, getting some assists. So he was doing what he can with only, like, two field goal attempts to start the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, but then you can't try to go closer mode and not hit any shots.
Yeah,
true.
Like, if you're going to facilitate and the team's going to go well, like, you kind of either need to keep doing that, or at least be willing, when it's time to take over, you got to take over. Like, you can't. I'm not going to give you credit for the first quarter whenever you are at home and you're the one seed. And I get Mike Conley's not there, but yeah, neither is Kawhi Leonard. Like, you just needed to get past Reggie Jackson. And, you know, I thought Pat Bev played pretty well, too. Pat Bev was out there making
plays. What do you know? What did Draven say yesterday? Pat Bev and Paul George. Well,
whenever
look,
the
look at that.
Whenever the game started unraveling, you did have Pat Bev do the off the ball foul that
yeah,
let them
was
get
he
a.
Doing?
I mean, that's the good and bad of Pat Bev. But yeah. He gave you enough good last night, and they won. If they'd have blown that lead, I would have come back and said the opposite of look at Reggie Jackson or look at Patrick Beverly losing his composure.
Yeah,
but you win, so you get to write the narrative, and the Clippers don't have to worry about that because they're winners. Steve Ballmer. I like Steve Ballmer, man.
I do too, man. Well. It's hard not to root for him a little bit, especially how excited he gets, man. Like, come on.
My man has how many billions? And all he wants is his team to win. That's it. That's relatable.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's relatable. And it's not. I don't even think it's for an ego thing. Like, no offense, Draven, close your ears, but like Mark Cuban and Jerry Jones, both those guys feel like ego-driven, wanting to win.
Yeah.
Say they did it.
Yep.
Like, I mean, Jerry Jones literally ran off Jimmy Johnson because he wanted the credit of, like, I built this.
Yep.
Mark Cuban maybe just wants to win. I don't know. Maybe that's not fair, but he seems much more look at me. Ballmer's just there again, worth billions of dollars, just trying to do everything he can to make his team a winner.
Cheering him on.
Just living and dying with every play. Guy's going to have a heart attack, not get to spend his billions.
Exactly. The common household knows the name Mark Cuban. The common household does not know the name Steve Ballmer.
Yeah,
is that accurate?
I'd say that's fair. Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think
only people who really know the sport know Steve Ballmer's name.
He's pretty popular from Microsoft, though, right? I mean, it was Microsoft.
But if you would ask
somebody, same cloud as Mark Cuban.
Well, Mark Cuban's more popular because of Shark Tank than
exactly.
he is from being
the show.
Well, I know he's more famous because of Shark Tank than he is being the Dallas Mavericks owner to the public.
But I think if you asked like a random casual fan, I think they're more likely to be able to tell you who the guy that owns the Mavericks is over the guy that owns the Clippers.
Sure. I mean, he's owned it longer. He's been, you know, the bad boy at one point in terms of arguing with the refs and arguing with David Stern. But, yeah, no, Cuban's more famous because of Shark Tank,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that helped for sure.
John, I have a take for you.
Let's hear it.
I mentioned it a little bit, you know, before we came in, and I want to kind of reinsert that a little bit. I think playoff P performance was better than Trae Young's.
Best performance of – you called it what, the third best performance of the playoffs?
I said the third best performance of the playoffs. Behind Dame and Kevin Durant.
Second best performance of the night, Draven. Yeah. I mean, let's not get carried away. You can praise your boy Paul George, but you don't have
to. What makes Trae Young's performance better? Just curious. What, other than the comeback? That's the only thing he's got going for him, the comeback. Paul George was still facilitating. He was getting rebounds. He was playing better defense than Trae Young. We can all admit.
Did you give us the all-defensive teams yesterday? Was that you? How many of those guys did Trae have to go against?
Okay, and the Clippers are playing the best team at home this season and the best team overall this season.
That's fine. That is not all the way healthy. Like, the Sixers are healthy.
The Hawks are healthy. The Clippers are missing their best
players.
Healthy. And do not bring up DeAndre Hunter compared to Kawhi Leonard. Do not bring that up.
I didn't mention it. I'm simply pointing out that the Jazz are not healthy and the Sixers are. But also, DeAndre Hunter is an important part. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Kawhi, but we can also agree that he's a starter and a good player. But either way, you know, more points, 39 points, more assists,
less turnovers.
Three steals from Trae.
I mean, you have to get out there and rebound when you're Paul George and not playing a center. But I'll give Paul George credit. It's a great performance, but what Paul George did last night would be Trae Young's maybe fourth best performance so far in the playoffs.
Get the hell out of here.
It's true.
Get the hell out of here, John.
You just told me the Jazz
are fraud.
You're
being a homer right now.
Paul George homer. You just told me Rudy Gobert is a fraud.
They just lost their best player. You literally said this was a huge moment for Paul George yesterday. You said that.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally played, I believe they've said, the most points he had since he was an Indiana Pacer.
Who was he cooking last night?
By the way,
Royce O'Neal.
First Clipper ever to have 30, 15, and 15.
That's fine. Trae Young's the first player ever to have 20 points and 7 assists in his first, eight playoff games, nine playoff games of his career. So, I mean, like, I'd rather have an NBA record than a Clippers record.
Yeah, a team that's never made the Western Conference Finals.
Noted losers, Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from Paul George.
That's
a great performance.
That's what also makes it a little bit
sweeter. You can have a great performance and also have it not be as good as somebody else's.
Sure.
And that's fine. It's the same thing with Trae Young. Trae Young was awesome. That's great. He was the fourth best performance. Paul George was third.
I will say cooking Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Matisse Thybulle is more impressive than cooking Royce O'Neal.
I would agree on that one. I think arguably Trae's had the best overall playoffs of any player. I think it's
weight?
He's up there. I think he's got to be up there. Like, just if like you take his body
KD,
as a whole,
right? We're gonna say behind KD.
Yeah, but I think that's the guy. But yeah, you would put ahead of him. But I think yeah, arguably like Trey is up there with his performance. Like if you take him, he's averaging 28-10, or at least he was going into last night's game.
Booker too. Booker's got to be up there. It'd be close between him and Booker, close second.
Well, notice I didn't mention the 20 points and 7 assists with Booker, because no player's ever done it in NBA history. Not Booker, not Chris Paul, not Steve Nash, not LeBron
James,
not Paul George, not Kawhi,
not Jordan,
not Michael Jordan, not Oscar Robinson, not Magic Johnson. Anybody else I'm missing? Not John Stockton.
That's fine, man. It's impressive. Yes, like Trae Young's been really, really good. I give you guys that. Congrats. He's been awesome.
He's done something.
He's been awesome.
Not Luka.
He's been awesome.
I forgot Luka. It's kind of an afterthought.
There's no way you can convince me that it was as good as playoff P's performance last night. Especially, think about the amount of pressure. Like you said, the Hawks had zero pressure. Trae Young had zero pressure in that game. If Trae Young would have came up and laid up an egg, people would have just said, young team, young players, whatever.
The
Sixers were favored.
The Clippers didn't have pressure. They just lost their best.
No. If Paul George would have came out and played bad, we would have been bashing him. Twitter would have been bashing him. They would have said, this guy's terrible. He can only win with Kawhi. The Clippers are a bunch of choke artists. It would have been a whole different narrative. Did not even say that.
If he'd have played bad, yes. If they'd have lost and he played well, no. Like, what are you talking about?
We're talking about his individual performance. We're talking about individual performances here, John. We're not talking about wins or losses.
He played great. You just said that the Clippers were under more pressure. They weren't. The Clippers are not under more pressure than the Hawks. I don't think either team had any pressure.
Paul George was under more pressure than Trae Young,
well,
is what
fine.
I'm saying.
That's fine.
Is that not true? That's true, yes.
Fine. Yeah. And it was built off of a career of being a loser, so like it's kind of self-inflicted. But there was
that's
also
what makes it more impressive. That's what makes it more impressive. No. By the way, and also the Jazz crowd is like at least, what, three times more hostile than the Sixers?
No.
Two times more hostile at least?
Wait.
The Jazz crowd is insane. It's bumping. You can't even hear the Sixers crowd.
Are you kidding me? A Philadelphia sports crowd? Is that not like on the Mount Rushmore of like supposedly the hostile and rowdy crowds?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And again, Paul George did have an built-in.
Trae Young had more trouble in the Garden. Trae Young had more trouble in the Garden. He'd spit all their chant stuff. I don't hear that Philly going on. I don't hear the chants going on. I don't hear anything, Matt. If anything,
that Trae has four performances.
If anything, John, Philly sports fans put just more pressure on their own team. I feel like that's more of the case than it is the other team.
No,
they just get more restless with their own teams.
I would say that, like you pointed out, Utah's just a bunch of losers. Second place finishers, and Utah has the same kind of complex
with
the Jazz.
We could say the same thing about the 76ers as well.
We can.
So,
yep.
Again, like
we're back to going against three all defensive players.
You guys literally just told me the all defensive stuff was kind of mixed
Who
up.
Said that? I never said that. I like the all defense teams. I never said that. We're praising Rudy Gobert. What are you talking about? I love the all defense teams. I think all three of those guys are elite defenders. The Sixers are the second best defense in the league all year.
Were we not just bashing Ben Simmons a few minutes ago?
I was bashing him as an all-around player, not a defensive player.
Okay. All
right. Oh, Ben Simmons is an elite defender. No. Ben Simmons is an elite defender. He's only in the league and thought of probably because of his defense because his offense is trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. And again, I don't want to take away from Paul George's performance. You always just go a little too far. You just have to push it a little too far.
This is not pushing it too far, man. It was. Both performances were great, third and fourth.
Exactly.
But Paul George was better. I'm sorry.
Third and fourth, honestly. Like I said, Trae has
what else would you put in there?
What are you talking about?
Game
winner.
He scored 30? He scored 30. Shot under 50%.
I don't think he did in game one.
If it wasn't for the damn floater at the end of the game, we wouldn't even be making a big deal about it.
You're talking about last night or against the Knicks in game one?
I'm talking about game one against the Knicks.
I don't think he shot under 50% in that game. If it was close. I thought he was over 50% and had 70% of his team's – or 30% of his team's points. Also passing out 10 assists, game winner, hostile environment.
Oof, you love it.
Paul George is great, though. Top 10 playoff performance this year for sure.
Top 10.
I put it behind Tatum's 50 as well.
Against the Knicks. To avoid getting swept like that really, that's
game
really
three.
Something special.
It was game three. You know, they were trying to get back in the series and win. You always take it a little too far.
I'm taking it too far. Yeah. You literally just said Trae Young's three of his
really
four performances against the awful Knicks. What?
All NBA player Julius Randle.
Yeah. Another top five defensive
team. By the way, Trae Young did shoot under 50% that game.
Was it
in
close?
Game one? 11 of 23.
So
it was a little
one
close.
Okay. Well, that's fair, I guess. But, I mean.
again,
you're gonna penalize
again,
me for shooting
again,
one shot under 500.
Has Trae Young been under any pressure these playoffs? No. Yeah. No.
Yes, if he would have came out.
His whole career has been under pressure. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
The whole narrative around Trae Young has always been loser, empty stats guy. He came into this playoffs with pressure and stuff to prove. That's a bad take.
People thought he wasn't going to, like, he had to show out to prove to people he could actually do it. People didn't think he was going to actually be able to do it.
He's had to listen to people say Derek White's better than him. Yeah. Forget the Luka conversations. Yeah. Derek White got picked over Team USA over him.
These early narratives, whatever. But look at these series, like the Knicks. You know, telling me the Knicks weren't under more pressure? No, the Garden's packed. They're finally back at the playoffs. They're finally hyped up. Man. Like, the pressure got to them. You could see it.
The Knicks weren't.
And in this series,
there.
Who's under more pressure? The Sixers or the Hawks?
Knicks were playing.
Absolutely, the 76ers.
The Knicks were playing with house money.
What are you talking about? The Knicks were playing with house money. Didn't you guys tell me they were favorites in almost every single series or whatever?
No, it was a coin flip.
And Julius Randle's an all NBA second team. Like, yeah, I think the Knicks were under more pressure.
It was a coin flip on FanDuel, and they were picked to finish 11th in the East or 13th in the East. They're supposed to be the fourth worst team in the league.
That's fine. They got there, though, and there was fans. Like, you saw the fans were more excited than they've ever been, man.
They gave them a standing ovation. They gave them a standing ovation after getting their ass beat in 5 games. Tell me. Do you think the Sixers are going to get a standing ovation in Game 7 if they go there and get their ass beat? Think their fans are going to be happy to be there? You think the Knicks gave them a standing ovation because, hey, good job, scrappy team. What great season. Again, after getting your ass beat, what, 3 straight games?
Yep.
Don't tell me they weren't just happy to be there. They were happy. If there was pressure, I think there would have been a lot more booing of Julius Randle for throwing up bricks.
Brick on brick on brick. He built a whole New York apartment. With his bricks.
No one's turned on him. No one's turned on him.
I'm just saying. Playoff P, Paul George, I think, has been under more pressure than almost anybody in this NBA playoffs.
Well, he shouldn't have given himself a nickname.
And he's had 3 straight 30-point playoff performances and 3 straight wins for the Clippers.
The Clippers were under zero pressure last night. Their best player was out. They had a built-in excuse.
The Clippers, exactly. But I think Paul George was under a lot of pressure. We said that. Yeah. We literally said that yesterday on the show.
I agree.
And literally, if he wouldn't have performed well, people would be like, well, see, that's what we get from Paul George in the playoffs.
And the thing is, if Trae doesn't have that performance yesterday, they've been like, yeah, the Sixers are a damn good defensive team. Sixers are favored. The Sixers should win that game. The Sixers should win this series.
I can tell you just don't follow the narratives as closely because it's been all series long has been, yeah, Trae can do that against the Knicks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the Hawks can beat the Knicks.
They shouldn't be here. They can't do this.
And that's fine. Like, congrats. And again, it makes it like I'm taking away from the Hawks, and I'm not trying to.
I hope Paul George hears this, bro.
I hope he does too.
I hope he hears this, bro.
I hope he listened to me yesterday, voucher for him. What'd you call
it? Check the tape. You gave up on him yesterday.
I did not give up.
You're always going to be right, John. You're going to be right again. No, the Clippers are done.
I don't know. I never said that. I was doubtful. I said the Clippers, it's going to be tough.
You know what? I hope Paul George plays well. I'm not even going to hold you to it. And here you come beating
your chest. I was like, I think he can. I think he might try to do a little too much is my only worry. That's what I said. Those were the word for words. That's exactly what I said.
Talking about pressure being off, I sat here and said, you know, I hope it's going to be unfair for Paul to have to do this. I hope he actually plays well for you.
That's what's crazy, and he did it.
That's fine.
What's Trae's obstacles? He doesn't have DeAndre Hunter.
Three defensive players.
Yeah.
Three all
while
defensive
being an
players.
Undersized guard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
You need to see it.
We still call him that one as a.
Well, okay, well, the good news is now there's no more excuses for playoff P. There's 2 more games. Let's see how you close it, big guy. You show me you can do it in Utah. Let's keep doing this.
You going to do this next series, too?
No.
Oh, he finally knocked out the Jazz. Let's see if he can do it in the Western Conference Finals, Draven. Is that what you're going to tell me next?
I've said the whole time this series is going 7. You're taking a little bit too big of a victory lap here.
I'm taking the too big of a victory lap. I am. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We haven't declared the Hawks winners yet.
Well, no, we are declaring the Hawks winners. Not the series, but in terms of season-long narrative.
This has exceeded expectations.
George has played 3 good games. Let's wait. Let's see what he's got.
Season-long narrative.
I can't wait to close out Game 7 in Utah. Because now there's no excuses. Because he's starting without Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Better be careful pumping that chest a little bit too much.
you better be careful pumping that chest, tough guy.
Well, do it again, Paul George. Win the series. You've shown you can do it.
Sorry, we're happy where our team's at.
Best player in the series, right?
Paul George?
Yeah. Now that Kawhi's out, I mean, best player in the series, right? Can't tell me Donovan Mitchell's better than him right now.
Not after the last couple of games, honestly.
Not so best player in the series.
I don't think that's too bold of a take. I actually buy that.
Better win it then.
I think I buy that.
Better win it then. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Couple minutes left, and oh, boys, it has begun. It has begun. Day of reckoning might soon be upon the New Orleans Pelicans.
As rumors are flying.
What do we got? I didn't see this.
Some family members like to see Zion on another team because of the Pelicans' failure to put the right pieces around him, per The Athletic.
Oof.
I believe there was was that from today?
Yes.
Cam, the report that he said him and RJ Barrett have talked about teaming up, or was that from another time? Because I saw a Knicks fan post that back to back, but I wasn't sure if both of those were from today. I do know that the Zion report about being unhappy with his family members being unhappy is from today. I wasn't sure if the RJ Barrett one was.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen the RJ Barrett one, so I am not sure on that one. That would be
exciting.
I mean, he's mentioned New York before.
He wants to go to the Knicks drastic, you know, desperately.
Mm-hmm. It'd be exciting. It's what they need up
there. No. That's not. He's not going to win there. Like,
he has a better chance of winning in New York than he does in New Orleans.
Yeah, to get what? Out of the first round?
And I would say he has a chance. I mean, I'm not going to say he doesn't have a chance to win in New York.
Time out.
We haven't seen.
Let me ask you guys something. How valuable, how good is Zion? Like, I get the stats are great, but like, are we overrating this player just a little bit?
He's in year two,
and then that's what I'm saying. He's in year two, and he's already going around.
I think any team in the league would love to have him.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I mean, the attention, the spotlight there. But I mean, how good is Zion Williamson?
He's a top 40 player already. And that might be light. I mean, some people think he's higher than that. Top 40 already. But, I mean, you're banking on him getting better and maturing. And, you know, also that their coaching has been terrible the last 2 years and that the roster's not very good. And that, you know, if you get him in the right situation, he will thrive.
I don't think the roster's terrible.
I think the roster's terrible.
I think they've been good enough to at least get the damn 10 seed.
I don't think so. I think they're
Come on. They can't outplay the Spurs. Like, who the Spurs even got? Yeah, DeJounte Murray?
Maybe they could have beaten the Spurs.
Literally.
Well, I mean, maybe they could have beaten the Spurs to get the 10 seed. But, I mean, would you feel better about Zion if they had gotten the 10 seed? Man. Would that change like the way you feel about him in the league? I don't think it should.
Probably not.
But like, if you're a team, if Zion becomes available, every team would want him. So I mean, like, if you ask, like, are we overrating him? We might be overrating like him as, you know, when you call him a generational player. We throw that around way too much. Like,
the time.
You know, Luka. You can't have Luka and Zion both be generational players. Like, neither one of those guys. Like, they put up good stats.
We're in the same generation right now.
They put up good stats. They're in the same generation. Like, let's let them win something and prove it first. You can't call somebody generational before they actually, like, prove it. Like LeBron James, generational.
And he backed that up.
But even him, like, you know, Kevin Durant's right there with him. Like, let's wait a little bit. But it did go to us after they fired Stan Van Gundy. Like, I mean, you two coaches in 2 years. Your effort should be, like, giving Zion what he wants. And if Zion wanted Stan Van Gundy gone, you probably should have checked before you hired Stan Van Gundy, because I'm imagining Zion wouldn't have wanted him then either.
Yeah.
We'll see what type of pressure. You know, there is an extension coming up next year, and he could take the, you know, the qualifying offer, get out of there in 2 years. So the Pelicans are on the clock.
What'd be the ceiling with him in the Knicks, though? Like, honestly.
Well, I think the ceiling would be, depends on, like, if anybody wanted to play with Zion.
Okay, they're bringing another talent.
Right.
Because they'd have to be, like, a championship contender. Right.
I don't think they'd be a championship contender no matter who they brought in next year. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you take Zion in year two and you hope by year five or six you put a team around him. But just that you've shown, like, and, like, it's funny because the last couple of years you would laugh at the idea, but, like, the Knicks have shown, like, hey, this new regime might know what they're doing. They've kind of put together a pretty good roster. They got, you know, a coach that has at least respect. I don't know how good he is when it comes to the playoffs, but he can get you to the playoffs. And, you know, Madison Square Garden is always going to be a draw. The question is, like, can you get free agents? Can you have the right people running it?
Zion and Chris Paul?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know if what the Knicks would even have to trade Zion unless he just completely forces his way somewhere, because
send them Randall for
Yeah, I mean, it might be Randall. It might be like, hey, build something around Randall and picks and, you know, basically everything you have, every asset, and then just kind of start with RJ and Zion and hope in a couple years you could have some cap space. But just something to keep an eye on. And if I'm the Pelicans, you know this is coming, man.
How awful is this, though? Anthony Davis, like, running him to the ground, basically, and now you got Zion already.
It was the same way. Like, they just mismanaged the way you build a team. And with Anthony Davis, it was the opposite. With Anthony Davis, it was, we are trying to get to the playoffs. We don't care if we're the 8 seed. We're going to do the best we can and get to the 8 seed, even if we have to trade all of our future assets for, like, Omer Asik. just to get you like to the 8 seed. Like, we just want to get there. We're going to trade all of our draft picks. We're going to trade all of our young players. We're going to put you up there with some guys that don't make a lot of sense. Here's Rondo. All right, let's go out and get DeMarcus Cousins with 1 year left on his deal. Let's go do all this. And they tried really hard, and then, you know, Anthony Davis looked around and said, wait, we don't really have any way to get better, and we're not winning. I'm out of here. With Zion, it's kind of been like, okay, we're just going to try to grow this with Zion and Lonzo Ball. Like, they should have traded Lonzo in the offseason or during the season. Mm-hmm. Got some type of assets. They're being a little too patient now, but the clock's already ticking with Zion. Something to keep an eye on, but it has begun. Dallas with Luka, Zion with the Pelicans, two young superstars already kind of voicing some frustration, or at least people around them voicing frustration. It's obviously much, much more likely to me that Zion gets tired of New Orleans.
Yep.
I don't think that roster is very good, though. No, I think it's a pretty bad team.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Brandon Ingram's good, but, like, I don't know if Brandon Ingram and Zion fit together.
No, what, Eric Bledsoe is your third best player?
I mean, yeah, or Lonzo, like, either way. But, like,
oh, yeah.
With, you know, they gave Steven Adams all that money. That was a terrible move. But, like, with Zion, like, I want him having the ball more. And they got Brandon Ingram, a guy who wants the ball and wants to shoot a lot. So I just don't know about that match long term. But we'll keep an idea. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. I wouldn't imagine anything happens this summer unless it just gets really, really loud. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trey winning puts pressure on both those guys to look and say, hey, young guys can do it.
Hey,
young guys can. You know, I mean, you roll your eyes if you want. The Hawks built a team around Trey Young and had a vision, and they put it together pretty quickly.
Yep. Yeah.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.